this going good?
Awesome.
Got it.
Testing, testing.
All right. All right. Praise the Lord. So glad to be here today. You know, Brother Matt was hesitating because, you know, he said they keep me in the back because they keep me in a cage with the kids. And so that's why you don't see me very often. So definitely it's a great blessing to be able to be with the kids and minister to them and run around with them. And it's a great blessing. And so I've been involved with the kids for a little while. So since I was 17, I started at Hoosier Hills, working there as a camp counselor. And so ever since then, been working with kids some way. So definitely thank the Lord for the opportunity. And I'm very glad to be able to be here. I asked a few young men to be able to help me today. And so they're going to help me with some of the reading and be able to hopefully just be able to add a little difference to the service. And I try to just make some things just slightly little different, not because I don't like pastors preaching, because I do. I enjoy it very much. And but just try to do some things a little different. Just it's great on a Wednesday night when a guest speaker comes in. It kind of rattles the cage a little bit, so you'll be able to say, hey, I need to be awake here. So definitely hope and pray that tonight will be a great blessing to you and great encouragement. And man, with the world and things that's going on today, there's so much uncertainty. And we need encouragement from the Lord. And we need a blessing from the Lord, because I mean, if you start thinking a little bit upon some of the stuff that's going on in our world, you'll get discouraged super quick, or you'll get angry really quick, one or the other, or both. And so it's very important to be able to have your nose in the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. And last night I was at work, I was just listening to the Word of God, just listening through it, and I was actually listening through the book of Judges. And I heard a little bit about Samson, and I'll tell you, that's a whole message in itself right there. Had so much potential, but lost it. And so much more that Samson could have done for God if he just had a heart for the Lord. Just think of all that he could have accomplished. He could have maybe possibly eliminated the Philistines altogether, and they would have never troubled Israel again. And it could have been possible. But some a lot of different factors that came into, but one thing mainly was his heart for the Lord wasn't there. And so definitely it's a sad story, but it shows you that any of us can be taken down by the devil if we allow him, if we get out of his book, if we get out of praying to him, if we get out of coming to his house. Many factors. I've seen it many, many times. People would stop coming to church service and they say, well, I'll just come on Sunday and Sunday night. Wednesday night, I can't come because this reason or that reason. And then before you know it, they're not coming on Sunday nights. And before they know it, they're not coming. They're just only coming to Sunday school on Sunday morning. Before they know it, they're just coming for the main church service. And then they quit altogether. And it's really sad. I know me and Brother Matt have seen many people, and you have too, that people have came, and people that we never thought in a million years that they would quit coming to the house of God, and they did. And it just shows you that none of us is above of quitting. None of us is above giving up. It's only by the grace of God, if you haven't already. And if you have, you got back on your feet and you're here. And thank the Lord for that. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And definitely, young men tonight, I'm going to have you help me tonight. So just make sure you got your Bibles ready. So if you don't have a Bible, better borrow one. And so some of you young men's going to be able to help me. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessings. Dear gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for how great and wonderful thou art. And Lord, I just would pray that you just would bless, Lord, here tonight. Thank you for allowing me to get here just in the nick of time. But Father, Lord, thank you for the rest that you've given me, even though my schedule is kind of weird than a lot of others maybe. But nevertheless, I thank you for allowing me to be here. And Lord, I thank you for the message you've given me tonight. And Lord, you just was just able just to, just like water running over my soul. And I just thank you, Father, for that so much. And Lord, I just would pray that this message would be a great encouragement to your people. And it's good to see faces that's here that maybe haven't been here for a while. I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, for those who that's been here faithful Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, I pray that you'd be a great encouragement to them. And those who are maybe watching a live stream, I pray that you would be a great encouragement and a blessing to them. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you just would bless in all these things. And Lord, you would look at my heart, forgive me for any sin, anything that would hinder your work tonight. And Lord, that you just would pour your message, Lord, upon my mind and Lord, upon my heart. And Lord, you give me clarity of speaking and clarity of thinking. And Lord, exactly what you would want spoke here tonight. And Lord, we just thank you. We love you, Lord, for how great and wonderful thou art. In Jesus' holy, most precious name, amen. And amen. In the world of uncertainty, that's the title if you were going to put a title on my message tonight, because we do. There's lots of things that's going on in our world today that if I talked about, like I said, it'd probably make you upset or discouraged or angry. And the thing is about this is things happen in our world we can't explain. We don't understand why, but we have to understand nothing surprises God. Everything's happening for a reason and for a purpose. And no doubt God wants you to use your mind to understand, okay, what do I need to do? Gas prices are going up. What do I need to do? Well, you may have to cut this out. You may have to cut that out. You may not be able to go on that vacation trip, a long vacation trip. You may have to do some short vacation trips. There may be some things you may have to do differently to be able to financially make it in your home. But the thing is this, that you have to understand that God is moving some chess pieces that we may not even understand, but he's moving them for a purpose and for a reason. And we have to trust in the Lord in spite of this and know that God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. All we have to be is willing a vessel to be able to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. And I'll tell you, it's just a great blessing to see each and every one of you here tonight. I pray that you just keep by the stop. Keep being faithful to the Lord because, you know, God wants a vessel who's just willing and faithful. And if you're there, if you're willing and faithful, God will use you. God will use you. And if you say, well, no, he can't use me. Yeah, he can. If you're willing and you're faithful, you have to be able to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. There may be some things in my life, Lord, please help me get those out of my life so I can be better used of you. And God will use you in a great and mighty powerful way. You show me someone in the Word of God who was lazy, who didn't want to get right with the Lord. Did God use him? Most likely not. You won't find me a lazy person in the Bible who God didn't use. Okay, and God uses a hard worker. God uses someone who's consistent, who's faithful. That's what God uses. And no doubt you see people that surprises us that God used, that's for sure. But the thing is this, even amongst the things that maybe they've done that we would say that was wrong, you know what? They turned their eyes usually upon the Lord. That's why God used them. God knew their heart, and God knew that they were going to be serving him later on. And so it's a great blessing. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. All right, Brian, I'm going to have you take these to the young man here. So you be ready. You just sit down right here. All right. First person, let's let Mr. Darrell here. Brother Darrell, if you can be able to read that first verse for us, please. Give the mic to Brother Darrell. There you go. Or you can hold it to him if they can't hold it.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Wow. And the next one, Brother Dave, right behind you. And so before you read that, the Lord wants, he says, I will bless the Lord. And, you know, when you think about this and you want to bless the Lord, you want to be able to, what, be in his will, okay? You think of, I will bless the Lord, I will obey him, okay? You think about, I will be able to please him, all right? That's definitely what the Lord wants us to be able to do. When we say, I will bless the Lord, we want to bless him by our obedience, by our willingness to serve him and honor him. And so let's continue here, verse 2.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Okay. Let's go.
I sought the Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
All right, Brian. All the way back there to Justin. Brother Justin.
called the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
All right. And then we'll go right back to...
They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
All right, we're behind you again.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them.
Okay, verse 8, let's go in the back.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Appreciate that. Let's put that there just in case I need to do it again here in a moment. All right. And so this is a wonderful passage of scripture to understand that the Lord wants us to be able to honor him with our life, but I will bless the Lord, and we want to be able to bless him through our obedience and by trusting in him. And then verse 3 says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Is I praise the Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to praise the Lord. I don't think you can praise the Lord enough. I really don't. You try it. See if you can praise the Lord enough. I don't think you're going to. It's like saying, I pray too much, or I read my Bible too much. It's not going to happen. I promise you, it's not going to happen. You can't praise the Lord enough. Even if you said every single word you said was something to do with praising the Lord, it still wouldn't be enough. And so the thing is this, God wants us to praise him in our what? In our words, in our actions, in our deeds. And so all these things are so very important as we praise the Lord. And as we praise the Lord, we want to be able to praise him. We really, really want to. Now let's look at Proverbs 3:6. A lot of you already have this passage memorized. But I think it goes right with this, kind of shows you, if you praise the Lord, if you acknowledge him, what does he do? It says in Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's kind of a simple concept, but it's one of those things that it's like praying. Well, it's a kind of a simple thing to do. You just talk to the Lord. That's simply what it is. But praising the Lord, when you praise him, he says that he'll direct your path if you acknowledge him. If you give him credit where credit is due, God says, you know what? He'll direct your paths. So many people want to know, what's God's will for my life? Well, are you praising him? Maybe a little bit. Well, praise him more. Because no doubt, as you praise God more, he's going to direct your path more. And so I think in America, that's something that we are lacking in very much. Wouldn't you say? We're lacking in praising God. When someone gets some kind of reward, or, you know, I watched a little bit of the Super Bowl, and at the end, I'm very curious sometimes what those men, how they give praise to different people or praise to themselves. And it's just every once in a while you see someone, I give acknowledgement to God, to my Savior Jesus Christ. I'm like, wow, that must be a Christian who's doing that. And then a lot of people, what they'll do, they'll give credit to themselves. They'll pat themselves on the back. And then maybe they'll give credit to their coach and to the other players where credit is due, all right? But it really shows you, kind of gives you a slight taste of where we're at. A thermometer, okay, how much are we praising God? Very little. And so it's something that we, I believe, as a church, and no doubt as a nation, no doubt we need to do more of praising God. It ought to be something, no doubt, in our speech when we're talking to someone. We ought to be able to say, oh, God done this for me, or God done that. My Savior, he blessed me here. And no doubt people may probably catch on to those things that you're saying, and they may make a comment and say, wow, why are you talking like that for? And the thing is this, because you want to praise the Lord. And so it's something that's so very important that we want. Sometimes you just have to be in a habit. Get yourself in a habit of doing it. It's something we have to all try to do, and we have to do on a daily basis in our conversation with others. People want to know right off the bat as you're talking with them, well, I want to praise the Lord on this, or I want to praise the Lord on that, or I want to thank God for this. Because a part of praising God, what, is what? Thanking God, giving Him credit, okay? And when you steam it down, if you put it down, the root of unthankfulness is not there in our country. I mean, it is like vanishing super quick. And I could do a whole lesson on thankfulness in our nation and see how our nation started, no doubt, right, with thankfulness, all right, with the pilgrims. They were thankful. Why? Because they didn't die. They were thanking God because they lived, all right? And so, and then over time, those things were forgotten and no longer taught. And when I tell the little kids in junior church, and I try to tell them that when the pilgrims came here, they came here for freedom of religion. That's why they came here. And half of them died the first year that they were here. And if you told them that, well, before they got on that ship, half are you going to die if you go over there to America? Would they still come? I believe they still would have. Why? Because the oppression that was there, they knew that if they were going to stay, they were going to die there, or they were going to be put in prison. And they knew they didn't want to do that. And so that's why they came to a new land for new freedom, where a king wouldn't tell him to do this and that against the word of God. They came for what? For religious liberty. And no doubt, may our country just seem like it just ran on that and was built on that. And no doubt, as time went on, people slipped away. And just the memory of the pilgrims, of why they even came here in the first place, faded away in people's eyes. It was not taught in school. They were taught that they ate turkey and they wore these weird hats and they wore black and white and they had lots of food to eat, and that's it. And maybe we're thankful for one another, but they didn't go into detail why. They were thanking God that they lived. Many of their family members that they had died in front of them, and many of them did not survive the winter. And their children or husbands or wives or fathers and mothers, they watched them die in front of them and had to bury them. And many of them, no doubt, had to bury them when it came spring, when things thawed out. Oh, what a harsh time it would have been to live then, but it shows you the dedication, the determination of having freedom of religion and having that liberty to be able to worship God how you see fit. Our country was built upon that, and it has been, no doubt, punched at, scratched at, bitten at, any way you want to say. It's been trying to tear it down since then. And you know what? It's something we need to, no doubt, get back to, is this being more thankful, praising God, giving Him the glory for what He has done in our life. We ought to not just be a thankful people, no doubt, during Thanksgiving. We ought to be a thankful people every day of our life and thank the Lord for it, because everything that's precious in our life, sadly say, can be just taken away like that. We've had a hard year in 2021, and sadly say, we're having a hard year again in 2022. And no doubt each one of you have bore different heartaches. And I pray that God will bless and encourage your heart and help you during this time. We have many sorrowful hearts that's in here, and those that's maybe even watching. And I pray that God would encourage your heart and would help you during the hardship that you're going through. Because each one of us has different degrees of hardship. We're all having a hard time. Some of us may be having a harder time than others. But we need God's help, and He will, even amongst that the hardship that you're going through. God wants you not to quit praising Him. Don't quit thanking the Lord for the things you have in your life, because the devil wants to put you in a corner and makes you want you say, oh, I'm going through such a hard time, and
I'm going through this, and I'm going through that, and it's so difficult, and I'm having a rough time. And as you hear me repeating over and over again, you hear me saying the word I over and over again. The devil wants you to make you think of you, I, me, and not think of others. Probably one of the best ways to get through a tragedy or get through something difficult, go out and help people. Go out and be a blessing to people. And the joy that you see that's going on, that you're helping others, rubs off on you. And so God wants you to be able to do that. And ultimately putting the Lord first, because we know that's the recipe for joy, right? J, put Jesus first, and then O for others, second, and then U for last. And that's the opposite of how the world teaches, right? Put Jesus in the closet, and put God in the closet. When we need him, we'll pull him out, all right? But and then put others, and then yourself first. And that's how the world puts it. The world puts it as you have to raise your self-confidence. And no, God teaches nothing about that, to be able to raise your self-confidence. No, God wants you to put your confidence in him, in God, okay? That's the problem with the world today. They put their confidence in yourself, but God says what? Your arm and flesh will fail you. Right. Yeah. And as I'm getting older, I see that I can't rely upon my strength. And no doubt I thank God for the strength and the ability he's given me to work and things. But the thing is this, I can't rely upon that. I got to have God's strength. I got to have God's help, God's wisdom, because our intellect is not good enough. All right. And no doubt God sometimes, you know what? He's saying, just use some common sense on that, all right? So sometimes you have to use a little common sense, all right? But the thing is this, who gives that to you? God does, okay? And God gives you that wisdom to be able to do things or not do things. And so let's look at the next verse here, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All right, Sam, look at Matthew 6:33. Read that for me. Told you, be ready. I caught him a little off guard there. He thought he was done. I really thank the Lord for my young men that helped me. For Brother Sam and Brother Dave, they help me every week in junior church. They are a blessing to me. I don't have to do it by myself. I've done it by myself before. I don't like doing it by myself. Why? Because I believe God wants people to help. God wants to have an active part, because I'm not going to be around all the time. Why? Because something may happen to me. I'm going to die one day. I need someone to replace me. I need someone to be able to stand up. Hey, I'll teach those young people. I'll serve the Lord. I'll do what God wants me to do. And I pray that they'll follow the Lord in their life. But they're a great blessing. And I thank the Lord for them. And I thank the Lord for my brother Daryl. And to thank the Lord for him, which he is my brother-in-law, and he's my brother in the Lord. So, which is a great blessing. When I was growing up, I never had a brother. And I always asked my mom and dad to make me a brother, but for some reason, they didn't, okay? But nevertheless, okay, I never had a brother growing up. I had several good friends, and I thank the Lord for that. But I never had a brother growing up. I always desired a brother. But I didn't know what the Lord had up his sleeve later on. Because when I was going to get married, my wife, which I thank the Lord for my wife. I have a beautiful, wonderful wife. She's home with the girls because they're not feeling well. But definitely, the Lord knew I was going to get married to a sweet, beautiful wife that had four sisters and five brothers. And I was going to be a part of that family. And when I first started dating, courting my wife, it just seemed like to their family, gunshots. And so the thing is this, get down on the floor if you hear that, okay, for real. But nevertheless, use my line of thinking here. And so when I first got married, the Morris family, they just surrounded me. It just seemed like their arms just wrapped themselves around me, and I couldn't get away. Why? Because I felt loved. I felt appreciated. I felt kindness. Not like my family was abusive to me. They weren't. But from my point of view, my mom and dad got a divorce when I was a senior in high school. My dad would still try to support me through Bible college, and he came up to see me at least once a week. So thank the Lord for my dad doing that. But you know, my sister died of cancer that same year. And so my family, I didn't really have a home to go back to anymore. And so I had to move on with Bible College when I was 19 and I never really looked back and just kept on pressing forward. And God just no doubt laid the puzzle pieces out in front of me. And I thank the Lord how he directed me and how he's blessed me. But he put me with a wonderful family, which much prayer would take all night. But I'll tell you how the story came together. Many of you know it, but may go into it down the road. But God put me in contact with that family, and we met. And God put us together, me and my beautiful wife, Dorothy. And her family just wrapped their arms around me and just put me in part of their family. And even still today, her mom and dad love me like I'm their son. And I thank the Lord for that relationship that I have with my family. But my brother-in-law helps me on the bus route. He was working the bus route, and he was actually just helping. And things worked out where he's my bus captain now. He said, "Well, I didn't think I was in training, but now he knows he was in training." So you never know what the Lord's going to do. And I thank the Lord that he's helping me, and definitely people who's helped me in the past. I just thank the Lord. It's great to have people there to help support you, encourage you, and I pray that I can be a great encouragement to them. So let's read that verse 4. Are you seeking the Lord? Matthew 6:33, great verse.
But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness.
Is that Matthew 6:33?
Oh, 23.
33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Great. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a great verse. God wants us to understand, are you seeking the Lord? Are you? And says, I sought the Lord, and I heard him and delivered him from all my fears. Do we have fears today? Yeah, we do, okay? All right? Man, if you start thinking, it's like, whoa, what's Russia going to do in Ukraine and all this that's going on? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And there's some fishy stuff that's probably in there, too, that's going on that we don't even hear about. But nevertheless, all right, God wants us to understand there's going to be some real fears that happen. But amongst those fears that happen, we can't run and hide in a cave somewhere, all right, unless you have your own bomb shelter maybe, but nevertheless, all right, God wants you to understand, you just can't run and hide. God wants you to seek the Lord. And if you have to go hide, okay, because a storm comes or whatever, okay, but you're seeking the Lord in the process, okay? You just can't run and hide from all the troubles of the world. Some people think they can just try to, I'll just ignore it. And ignore the problems, and it's not going to affect me. Well, that may be true on some problems, but some problems may affect you, and you need God's guidance. You need God's wisdom on what to do, and how you get that by seeking the Lord. You have to seek the Lord. Put him first, and you have to seek the Lord to be able to get through these troubling times that we're going through. We need to seek the Lord. It may be come to a point where we may have to be a more closer-knit family and help each other more. Why? Because prices go up extremely more. A little thing called hyperinflation. If that takes place, our money's going to be useless. All right? Take a whole wheelbarrow of money to buy a loaf of bread. That's a tough time to go through. But how do Christians go through those in those different societies? Together? Yeah, together. That means we become closer knit. We become, what, encouraging each other more. Helping each other more, being there for one another more. And those who's less fortunate, we help them more. And if you have more, you give more. That's how God's blessed. If God's blessed you with more, you're able to help more people, not be able to stash it away and, oh man, I can make it to the next 20 years. No, that means you have the opportunity to help more people, and especially those of the house of God. Especially the brothers and sisters of the Lord, if things really get hardship that comes in the future, you know what happens? We work together more. We help each other more. We love each other more. We're there for each other more. We got to do that. No doubt, we got to seek the Lord, put him first, and we need to seek the Lord as troubling times come. We need to seek him more because it's going to be so very important to know exactly what we need to do and what we don't need to do. And let's look at the next verse, verse 6. Let's have Brother Darrell read verse 6 for me. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 6.
This poor man cried, The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Amen. Great verse. You could probably think of times in your life that you cried out to God, that you cried out to him and asked him for help, that you asked him for guidance. You asked him for leadership. You asked him to be able to know what you need to do and what you don't need to do. This poor man cried. You probably think of that first time you cried out to the Lord, right? What, in salvation? And you cried out to him. You knew you were a lost sinner. You were on your way to a Christless hell. There was no way you're going to be able to get through it. You knew your destination was hell, and then you need salvation through Christ. And you cried out to him for his wonderful forgiveness, and his cleansing blood, no doubt, forgave you and gave you eternal life and made you a child of God. And that can be for anybody. And that can be anybody that's just listening or hearing even the sound of my voice to be able to know salvation is for you, my friend. Even if it's your first time crying out to the Lord, he wants to hear and answer your prayer, and he wants salvation to come to you. That nobody should perish, that everybody should come to forgiveness. Everybody needs to be forgiven of the Lord. Christ died for the whole world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? Jesus died for every single person, not the good people on this side of the train tracks. No, Jesus died for every single person, black, blue, purple, and green. It don't matter who you are, where you came from. Jesus died for you, and he wants to forgive you, and he wants to give you eternal life. Most definitely. He is there, and his wonderful forgiveness is there. And to a child of God who's backsliding, who's drifting away, his forgiveness is there. He wants to get you back on track, going the right direction, encouraging others, being a blessing to others. That's what the Lord wants. This poor man cried. I hope that you've cried out for salvation, and you've received that wonderful forgiveness and eternal life. The next thing, no doubt, we need to cry out for dedication. Oh, Lord, help me be dedicated. Oh, dear God, help me to be able to keep on keeping on, even though when things get rough, help me, Lord, to keep on for you, Lord. That's what we need. We need dedication to the Lord. We need to cry out to him for that, plead to the Lord for that we wouldn't quit when things get hard. And things may not be hard yet, but even if things get harder, you know what? We just keep on keeping on. We just keep on crying out to the Lord, and God will hear and answer prayer. Our God is not going to forsake us. I can guarantee you that. You can look in all history of how God has dealt with mankind. He did not forget his own. God provided for his own. Those who sought him, those who followed him, those who wanted to honor and glorify him, he didn't forget about them. Even those that was in Egypt under bondage, you know what? He heard their cry. Yeah. He heard their cry, and he came and helped them and brought them a deliverer, right? Moses, right, gave them a deliverer to be able to deliver them out of Egypt. God did not forget about them. And, you know, we need to understand that we need to cry out to the Lord in salvation and dedication. And we need to cry out to the Lord for direction. It's so very important. We need direction of the Lord. What a time in life that we need in history. We need direction from the Lord. Guidance to be able to, what way, Lord, do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What stands do I need to take? Because if you can make a stand if you want and go to D.C. and make a stand and stand on the steps, all right, of the Capitol building. But is that going to make a difference? Is that what God wants you to do? It's one thing if God told you to do it, then you need to do it. But the thing is this, that's why you need direction. That's what we need to do as a church, as a people of God. We need direction in what we need to do and what we need and what we don't need to do. And so let's look at Ephesians 4:32 on that. Let's see, Brother Dave. Let's have Brother Dave read that. Ephesians 4:32.
And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Wow, that's verse-packed. So simply loving each other, being there for one another. And that's part of the house of God, the brothers, the fellowship of brothers and sisters in the Lord, is to be able to love one another. But if we love one another, you know the other thing we got to do? Forgive one another. It goes together. You can't have a relationship without one another. I can ask Brother Matt and tell you, you love Sister Shelley, right? Oh, yeah, very much. And Sister Shelley, you love Brother Matt, right? Yeah. Have you guys forgive one another? Have you forgave each other for things? Oh, yeah, you have to. Daily basis, most of the time, okay? You have to forgive each other. Any person that you love, you're going to have to forgive. And us as a church, and as we become tighter knit because of maybe things that's happening in the world and what will maybe happen in the future, which I'm not a predictor, okay? I've never have been a predictor of future. But the thing is this, I know, all right, who wins at the end of the book, okay? I'm not predicting it. God predicted it. And I know there's things that's being set together for the end, okay? And so the thing is this, if that means the end is 100 years from now, or if the end is just years in front of us, okay? But nevertheless, we need, as things get worse in the world, we need to love each other more, and we need to forgive each other more, and be there for each other more. That's what we got to do. Because what the devil's going to try to do, he's going to try to get division in there and split us apart. Get us angry at one another. Get us, frustrated with each other. And Bill, get us, Bill, to say, well, I don't like this person. I don't like that person. I don't like what they do. No. Love one another. Forgive one another. That's what we must do as a church and encourage each other more. The Bible says, as you see the day approaching, okay, that's what it says, okay, to be able to acknowledge the Lord is coming back. And when the Lord comes back, it's going to be swift and it's going to be quick. And this world's going to go in total chaos real quick, all right? You think it's bad now, it'll get really bad quick. And so the thing is this, we have to understand that as times roll on, every day is getting closer for the Lord coming back. The disciples thought the Lord was coming back in their lifetime, okay? All right? And it's been, a little over 2,000 years. The disciples thought the Lord was coming back then. In their language that you read, they thought they were going to see the Lord's return in their lifetime, okay? So some time has passed, and it's a lot more closer than what it was then, all right? And so the thing is this, we need to be prepared and we need to be ready. And we need to be, no doubt, blessing the Lord in our life. We need to be praising the Lord. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be crying out to the Lord. And let's look at the last verse here. The last verse. Let's go take that microphone back to Brother Justin back there. Number 8, verse 8. Great verse. Psalms. Yes, Psalms 34, verse 8.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I challenge you in here, if you say, well, I haven't been serving the Lord as good as I should, or I have never served the Lord with my whole heart, taste and see that the Lord is good. Someone who's listening tonight and saying, man, I'm not serving the Lord like I should. Or maybe you're just not serving the Lord at all. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We serve a great God. Amen. A great God does great things. And he wants to do great things in your life, just like he's done great things in my life. Any good that I have, it's because of the Lord. All right? Any bad, you say, well, it's because of the rotten, dirty rascal that I am. Okay? So the thing is this, God wants us to be able to understand that he wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because he is. He is good. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's look at Philippians 2:2. Let's have Brother Darrell read that.
Love, being of one accord, of one mind.
All right, do that one more time because I think we only got you halfway through there.
Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Amen. It's something that's so very important. As we taste and see that the Lord is good, as we trust in him, you know what? God wants us to be able to have that unity to work together. To be able to work together in harmony with one another. And to be able to lift each other up. to encourage each other, be there for one another. And I truly believe if things continue to go, if God doesn't do something, it's going to continue to get worse. And if things get worse, that doesn't mean God wants us to come together more. You have to understand, when things get worse, when things get more horrible that takes place in our world, you know what that means? God just wants us to get closer together. God wants us to get closer to Him, to the Lord, and God wants us to get closer to one another to help each other through the difficulties that may come. Not to be discouraged, not to be depressed and say, oh, boo-hoo me, I have to go through this. No. We go through it together, okay? Just not one of us is going through it. All of us is going through it. That's how at the beginning, when the church was first started, you know what? They sold a lot of their things that they had. Why? To help one another, to help those that was in need. Why? God wants you not to sell everything that you have, unless He puts it on your heart to do it. But the thing is this, God wants you to be able to understand the things we have, all right, we use those for Him. Mm-hmm. They're a tool. Everything we own is eventually going to be owned by someone else.
Yeah.
Okay? Everything we have, we're just borrowing it for a short time. We say, oh, it's mine. These little kids that have little toys in June church, they went, do you want to give some of that to me? No, it's mine. Yeah, that's what they'll do. Why? Because that's our nature. Our nature is say, it's mine. It belongs to me. Okay? But no, God says, no. Yours is borrowing it. Okay? If it don't end up in the waste field or in the trash can, and it's something that lasts many years, eventually it may belong to your kids or family members, or it will belong to somebody else that's dropped off of the Goodwill. Okay? When I went to my grandpa's house after he passed away, my grandmother asked me to come down and help me go through all of his stuff, and I did. And I went down to Alabama, and went through all my grandpa's stuff, and it was kind of interesting because when you go through someone's stuff, you see some things that maybe he's like, ooh, I didn't know about that, or I didn't know about this. And sometimes you find things that you didn't want to find. But nevertheless, you understand that person's a sinner, and just like you are. And so the thing is this. I went down there to help my grandpa and be a blessing to my family, and I went through his stuff, and I kept some of the things, maybe a trash bag worth of things that I brought home. But the thing is this, the rest of the stuff, you know what? I took to the Goodwill, all right? So anything that you own, you think it's special to you, that's probably where it's going to end up, at the Goodwill. It's not as special as you think it might be. And so the thing is, God wants us to be able to understand that the things we think that are permanent, that means a lot to us, may not mean a whole lot after you pass away. So one thing you have to understand, everything we own, we're just borrowing it for a short time.
Yeah.
And God wants you to use that as a tool to help others, be a blessing to others, be an encouragement to others. In our church, we say Charity Baptist Church. Why? Because it's where love is. Where the Lord's love is. And so God wants us to be able to encourage each other, be there for one another, and as harder times come down the road, and which they may. But the thing is this, we may not know the uncertainty, which there is a lot in our world today, but we know some truth. That we know the truth that God's not going to leave us nor forsake us. We understand that. And we understand that we need to trust in the Lord and know that He's taking care of everything. And like I said, there may be some things you may have to adjust. Maybe some things you may have to sell. There may be some things that you may have to change financially if things continue to go the way they are. Gas prices go $6, $7, $8 a gallon. But what are you going to do? There may be some adjustments that you have to make. Yeah. Write it down on paper. Figure out how much money you have to make. All right. How much money do you have to survive the month? Okay. How much do you have to set aside for this or for that? Whatever you are good at finances. And if you're not, get with someone who is good at finances to help you with those things, to be able to manage your money and things, and to be able to take care of the things that you're taking care of so that, you know what, you have money left over to help others. All right? That's what God wants you. Money is a tool. Use it for the glory of God. So glad you're here tonight. I pray that the Lord's blessed you and encouraged your heart. And just keep trusting the Lord. God will help us through. Let's pray. Dear gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for how great and wonderful Thou art. I pray that You would bless each and every person that's here tonight. Lord, we know that there's uncertainty that's here. And Lord, I just would pray that You would work in the hearts of each and every person. Lord, as we sing a song of invitation, I just would pray that you would just work in the hearts of the people. If they need time down at the altar or just a time of praying to the Lord in their seat, whatever it may be, I pray that they would make that time with the Lord. Maybe they've been struggling with some things this week. Maybe I touched on, maybe some things I didn't touch on, but you touched their heart. I pray that they would seek you tonight on those things. And Lord, let our eyes keep on you. So easy to get them off of you and on all these other things that's going on. We need to be informed, but we shouldn't be someone who is absorbed in these things and worried that you can't take care of us, because it's not true. You can take care of us, and you will. And Lord, just pray that you just would bless, and thank you so much for how great and wonderful thou art. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing that hymnal here, Just As I Am.
816.
Brother Daryl, would you come up and sing that for us? 816.
Second verse. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. I'm going to have Brother Matt come up here, and he's going to...